You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison. Hey everybody, it's time for Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that asks the important questions like, why does Donkey Kong wear a tie? I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Cody. That's a good question.
Yeah, why? Okay.
He didn't used to.
No, that's true.
I think I like the tie better than his white jumper.
It's white. The Skylanders jumper
no.
thing?
No.
You mean Donkey Kong Jr.?
Yeah, the one that pops up in the original Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah. He's got a tank. Yeah, that white tank top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a tank top or is it like a one-piece monkey bathing suit?
I don't know.
It's like he's a gymnast.
It might go all the way down. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it does.
I don't know.
It covers his ape
wait
junk.
Wait a minute. I have a Donkey Kong Jr. wallpaper on my phone, actually. Yeah, it's a one-piece.
Yeah, he's wearing a onesie. That's awesome.
Because he's a baby.
Yeah.
He's a baby boy monkey.
Anyway, we have a great show for you. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get into some of our check-em-outs before we get into the news.
We watched the Killing Joke.
Hey, I did
animated.
Too.
We could talk about it together.
Oh my
Killing
god.
Killing Joke.
All right.
I thought the last half was pretty good and the beginning was just the worst.
You mean the second half? That's the actual Killing Joke?
Yeah,
the actual story.
The actual story was pretty good. The stuff they added was the worst.
It was written so bad.
Yeah.
It was like cringing.
Yeah. I kind of felt that way. Like, it wasn't as bad as, like, the internet made it sound, but it still wasn't great.
Oh, I hated the beginning.
Oh, no, I don't like it either, but...
like, it was irredeemable.
I was expecting worse, and honestly, watching the movie, I'm like, I'm failing to see exactly why it got her R rating.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the language was there were a couple, like, swears dropped here and there.
Pretty violent.
It was violent, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't ultra-violent.
No, like, no.
I mean, they could have cut the violence out and it would have made no difference.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. And it's, you know, there's no nudity. Nothing like that. It's just...
There was always stuff conveniently in the way of Commissioner Gordon's junk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like the stuff they added about Batgirl at the beginning was... Just so stupidly sexist.
And it doesn't connect well with the rest of the story
at all. It's unrelated to the
regular
story.
It really is. Like we talked about before, like, if they're trying to make you feel for Batgirl, they don't really do a good job.
No.
But at the same time, though, they didn't make her to be, like, a love-crazed lunatic for Batman either.
No.
Like some people were trying to say.
But every conversation she had with anyone... was about her in connection to a man or Batman or...
This is true. It does fail the...
Yeah.
Miserably.
But, like, and not even just because it fails the Bechdel, it doesn't give her any agency of her own. It's all about her in relationship to men. Every conversation she has with anyone.
Just her stereotypical gay friend.
Yeah, she has a stereotypical gay friend at the library.
I could watch a whole movie of her just chatting away with her guy pal.
I wasn't interested in watching this movie before because Killing Joke was never one of my favorite stories. This is really cementing it for me. I have no interest in checking this animated feature out.
I was a super apologist for the animation back when they did the trailer. It's not good.
Really?
But at the same time, it's following closely the style of the book, and it is dated.
They try to make it look like the book, but not go all the way.
Mm.
And, like, it ends up in some murky middle ground between Batman the Animated Series and the actual
book. Yeah, there
are
some times where it looks kind of Bruce Timm-ish, but it's not.
It doesn't work. Mm. And there's a lot of times where they steal an exact pose and an exact art from the book, but they don't animate it well enough because it's super detailed.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. They should have either went all one way or all the other.
Yeah.
And which all if they made it look like the book, it would be incredibly expensive.
Sure, yeah. God, that just sounds frustrating.
It kind of is.
A little bit. The voice acting was good.
Yeah.
It's really kind of interesting to hear Mark Hamill, like, nailing all those iconic lines from it.
Oh, that's the only reason I like The Killing Joke is those great, great Joker monologues. They're amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, one of the things I always really liked about The Killing Joke was the fact that through a lot of it, Batman doesn't want to, he's trying to save Joker. And it's, I feel like maybe they could have done maybe a better job at translating that. Maybe instead of adding all the really crappy Batgirl stuff, maybe some Batman dealing with his inner demons kind of thing with the whole situation.
Or maybe the Joker could have been in the beginning too.
Yeah, because like Joker showing up and stuff and shooting Batgirl really serves no purpose in connection with the rest of that story.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Like, at all. And the fact that it's not even the fact that he was going after Barbara Gordon. She just happened to answer the door, and then they're taking commish.
Yeah, they could have just taken him.
Yeah, there was no point to really shoot her.
No.
I mean, just to torture him, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a lot of the Joker's ammo for making him go crazy is the pictures of Barbara and the fact that she's paralyzed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely not one of their best works.
No. Usually the DC animated stuff is really good. This is not one of them that's really good.
Well, they were due to have a not great one. It's a shame that it was this particular story that it kind of fell apart on.
I feel like they were banking more on name recognition of the book.
Yeah.
And the fan favorites of voice acting.
Yeah.
Like, they're real, hey, we got the Batman animated series Batman and Joker in here. You know you want it.
Maybe just watch the actual Killing Joke parts. If you're going to watch it, just skip the stuff at the beginning.
Just skip the front half?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it doesn't tie in at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you go from, like, Batgirl being the main character, and then, done, you follow Batman the rest of the way.
Mm. Yeah, that's just weird. It's
very disjointed. Very weird. It really is.
Sounds like it.
They wanted to characterize Barbara more. They couldn't have did worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it almost does more damage to her than it does good.
Like, it's... Yeah. It was, like... almost a woman in a refrigerator scenario.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was before, and then they did nothing to repair that.
No.
Yeah. Which was the whole point of adding the extra half hour at the beginning, was try to patch that up.
And then the movie's only an hour and 17 minutes long.
Wow, it's not even feature length. That's crazy.
The writers, whoever wrote that beginning part, did such a bad job.
Yeah, and that freaking, like, mafia scuzzball who becomes obsessed with Batgirl.
Yeah. So she kind of has her own Joker kind of situation.
But different.
Well, because she's a woman, so it's different, and he's in love with her. But it's the same concept, because the Joker's kind of obsessed with Batman.
A little bit, yeah.
The writing is so bad. When they were fighting, one of the guys said, "Must be that time of the month."
Oh, that's
bad.
That's bad.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
It's a hard shift between the beginning and that Alan Moore written part. It's like, okay, you can definitely tell that this is a different writer.
Wow.
Because now it sounds good.
Wow, that's bad.
That bad.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have no interest in watching this now. So.
Just skip the first part.
Yeah.
Ugh. The rest was not bad. I mean, it's okay.
I mean, it's a product of the time it was made.
Well, sure,
still.
That too. Yeah.
But it's, if you put that in that perspective, it's pretty good.
Okay. All right.
But don't watch the beginning. In continued Batman check-em-outs, I played the Batman Telltale game all the way through the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Is it episodic or is it just one, the whole game?
It's episodic.
Okay.
It's all right. Just squarely okay.
Because,
There's obviously three disparate parts of being Batman in this game. There's the combat.
Sure.
There's detective work, and then there's being Bruce Wayne. The detective work and the being Bruce Wayne stuff is cool. The combat sucks.
Yeah.
Because it's Telltale quick time events combat, but they lay it on real thick. Mm. There's a lot of button pressing and...
So kind of like when you're fighting zombies in The Walking Dead one?
Yeah, except longer and more complicated.
Oh.
Like turned up to 11.
Yeah. It's not fun at all.
It doesn't sound like it.
It isn't. But the detective stuff is really cool. You have to case a crime scene and connect evidence together to figure out what happened, and it's very Batman and very cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And the Bruce Wayne stuff is interesting because you don't see that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That is an aspect of Batman that you don't get a whole lot of in outside media.
It's a lot of walking around, talking to Harvey Dent, and like... going
politicking?
To politicking, yeah. He basically goes around and plays politics.
Scary face. I want your vote.
I don't know. I'd like to replay it with different choices and see what kind of difference that makes.
Yeah.
If any.
Were you like a good Batman or jerky Batman? Like, what kind of choices are we talking about here?
Those pretty much are the choice. You can be,
So kind of like The Wolf Among Us, you could either be good Bigby or jerk Bigby.
Yeah. There was one part where I was interrogating somebody at a crime scene, and I went a little too Zack Snyder Batman.
Oh, really?
Oh, God. Yeah.
And when Commissioner Gordon, well, I guess it's Lieutenant Gordon at this point, mm-hmm. and I think it's Renee Montoya. I don't. They didn't say, but it's
it probably is. Yeah, it probably is.
Come in, they're like, "Oh my God, he really, you know, he really lost control here."
Did you brand the guy?
No, I broke his arm though when I didn't have to. Like I thought maybe he'd have more to say. He was like, "I don't know, I don't know." And I'm like, "Break his arm."
Swear to me. Yeah.
And he didn't have anything else.
Oh, good job.
I'm not lying to you, man. What's going on?
Little thing popped up. Gordon noticed your violence.
Oh, wow.
Good job.
Then it's kind of buggy, too. I couldn't get it to go full screen without cranking the resolution all the way up to the max, which made it stutter really bad, be real slow on my computer.
Huh. Mm, weird.
So, yeah, I had to play it in a window.
To the floor.
Which was kind of a pain. And I've never had any problems with Telltale games before that. I mean, it's not like it's...
That graphically intensive?
Yeah.
Hmm. Or gameplay intensive? Yeah.
I think they really need to update their engine.
Yeah, it's pretty
decrepit. I kind of like their style.
Well, they can keep the style. They just need to upgrade their tech so their stuff isn't broken.
Well, look at the gaming community right now as it is. It seems like we're getting more buggy junk games than we are, like, you know,
yeah,
solid ones.
Well, I think it's because a couple of games came out and they were a little buggy, and developers realized people are going to buy this whether it's fixed, whether it works or not.
Yeah, we can just fix it later.
Yeah. The whole idea of that mentality. Post-launch patches. Yeah.
It's lazy.
It is.
I'm getting tired of it.
That's been on a slippery slope for years, and now it's really coming
to a show. Yeah.
That night, I think Telltale just needs to do something new.
Yeah.
Because it's really starting to feel really samey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the kind of the repetitive visual novel aspect.
Yeah, and just the whole the gameplay, it's all basically the same.
Basically, you've played one Telltale game, you've kind of played them all just with different faces.
Yeah.
From Walking Dead to now... Mm-hmm. They've been treading the same water.
Like same game, different flavor.
Yeah.
Because Walking Dead really started something great. Those games were really, really good. I really, really enjoyed the Wolf Among Us stuff.
That's my favorite.
The Wolf Among Us got me to read the Fables comics.
Yeah, the Wolf Among Us is my favorite game they've done in a long since like Sam and Max.
Yeah. I think it's because that world is so interesting and the characters all had a lot of personality and flavor to them.
And the art style is really good in that one. It's just really good.
I felt like a jerk when I ripped off Grendel's arm in the troll bar.
I wish they wouldn't have went straight to season 3 of Walking Dead. I think they should have put that on ice for a little bit.
Yeah, but at the same time, they want to keep that zombie hype train rolling.
But I'm burnt out on it.
Oh, trust me, I am too.
I only played the first 2 episodes of the Michonne game. I haven't even gotten around to the 3rd one.
Oh man, I forgot there was a Michonne one.
And it's pretty good, but it's more of the same. But Michonne is such a cool character, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I would give Batman just a straight 7 out of 10. It's good. I mean, if you like Batman, if you want to be Bruce Wayne, then there you go. I mean, it's also kind of slow at the beginning, too.
A lot of the Telltale ones are a little slow in the beginning.
Yeah. And it gets to a point where you're like, okay, I've been Bruce Wayne for a long time. When do I get to be Batman?
When do I get to snap some necks and be Superman? Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I'll definitely play the other ones. I'm hooked into the story.
Oh, that's cool. So this is kind of like year one era Batman, where Gordon's not quite commissioner yet.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously been Batmaning for a little while.
I'm really glad I coined that word.
Yes, that's a good term.
But it is pretty, it's pretty early in his career.
His career in unlawful law enforcement.
Yeah. And there's a whole thing where maybe his parents were connected to the mob and he's trying to figure out what's going on there.
Well, that angle has kind of been done before with the whole Court of Owls stuff in the New 52.
Kind of, a little bit, but that was all kind of a red herring by the end, so I don't know.
That's what this is doing.
Okay.
At the end, he finds a picture of his parents hanging out with mobsters in Falcone's office, so...
Mm. Oh, no.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum.
Maybe Falcone's mom was also named Martha.
Everybody in the DC universe is named Martha. Everyone's parents are named Martha.
I'm Martha Manhunter.
Martha Manhunter. Perfect. That's perfect. Yeah.
Episode title.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Yeah. Well, I can go over mine real quick. I watched three movies. I'm sure I've talked about them on the show before, or at least off mic. Back in the mid-90s, movie companies had this weird fascination with 1930s pulp heroes.
Yeah, Rocketeer and The Shadow and The Phantom.
Those are the three movies that I watched. Thank you for nailing it. Awesome. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I said it's like a weird, it's almost like a weird thematic trilogy kind of, because they're all set in the same time and they all have that same kind of look and feel.
Yeah, they really do, don't they?
Yeah. So of the three of them, I'll be honest, and I've always loved all those movies, even when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I think going back and rewatching them, I think The Phantom is probably the most enjoyable of the three.
It's been a while since I've seen it. Was The Phantom really that same time era?
It was 1930s.
Was it?
Yeah.
I had this weird thing that it was kind of more modern-ish.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
The Nazis are bad guys, aren't they?
That's Rocketeer.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. I know. They all kind of mesh together again because it's the weird, it's that time frame. But yeah. No, the Phantom was 1930s, like maybe 20s.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah.
It really has.
And the...
Honestly, I think I've watched The Shadow more than I've watched any of the other ones.
Sure. Well, that was the biggest budget of the three. It's interesting to go back and watch and see some of the celebrity, like the famous people that kind of jobbed it in these movies. Like Tim Curry was in the Shadow. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Playing not the bad guy, but just like some sniveling, like crony. Yeah. Let's see. Treat Williams was the villain in The Phantom. Xander Drax, which is probably one of my favorite villain names of all time. Drax. It's great. Yeah. And he plays it like just, hello, everybody. I'm Xander Drax. I'm your villain for the day. Hello. He really hands it up.
Does
I love it. And the Rocketeer, I can't remember. Timothy Dalton was the villain in the Rocketeer. And he was playing it. He played an Errol Flynn type actor.
Yeah.
Which really lends to Dalton's strengths as an actor.
Cheesy.
Very cheesy, yes. All the movies were very cheesy. They all had their bits of comedy.
I do love those dumb movies.
Oh, they're dumb. They're real dumb, but I love them. They're great. Just
like Shadow was amazing.
Mm-hmm. With a young Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes.
Like before she became an
Catherine Zeta-Jones
actress.
Before she dipped below those lasers.
Yeah.
Rocketeer is great. I love the Rocketeer. Mm-hmm. It's so...
I've never seen it.
Really?
I've seen The Rocketeer.
I have not.
Wow.
It's good. I'll have to let you borrow
it. What Twilight Zone have we wandered into? Do you remember when they tried to bring The Phantom back, like briefly for television or something?
Sure, yeah, and it was no good.
No, he's like a purple hoodie and a...
Mm-hmm. that was on the Sci-Fi Channel. That was your first problem.
Yeah, it was garbage.
Yeah. Do you remember Phantom 2099 or 20... whatever.
Yeah, Future Phantom.
Yeah, Future Phantom, the cartoon.
Yeah.
By the guy who did the art for Aeon Flux.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was weird.
And Reign the Conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
Only with less cod pieces.
Yeah. So I guess they're going to be, I watched them all because from what I understand, they're going to be redoing The Rocketeer.
Not so much they're redoing it, is they're continuing it.
They're continuing it. Okay.
Yeah, from what I understand with The Rocketeer thing is like, it's set during the Cold War.
Okay.
And the original Rocketeer has been captured by Soviets.
Okay, so they're...
And so the woman who is going to become the new Rocketeer for this new series is trying to save him.
Okay, well, they're making a movie as well. That's what I was discussing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're making a new comic, too. And
okay, maybe I'm thinking of the comic, then.
I thought that's what they were doing for the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I read.
Okay, well, then...
Something's going on
something
in Rocketeer land.
Yeah, but it made me wonder if there's going to be a resurgence of these 1930s pulp hero...
Let's
movies.
Hope so, that's fun.
They kind of tried to do that with The Spirit, and it didn't do well.
Well, that's because that was Frank Miller.
Yeah. I liked The Spirit, though.
Really?
Honestly, I thought it was fun.
And that's your opinion.
Yeah. And maybe it was just ScarJo in cool outfits.
That could be
That might have been quite a bit.
Yeah. But no, overall, I would go back and watch those. I think they're... I have them on DVD, but I think most of them are on Netflix. They should be. They seem like the kind of movie that would be on Netflix.
I have a feeling.
Yeah.
Well, Disney owns The Rocketeer.
That's true. Yeah.
Are they going to make a Doc Savage movie?
Actually, there was talk there for a while that Dwayne The Rock Johnson would play Doc Savage.
I do remember that.
Dwayne The Rock The Doc Johnson.
Yeah. And you know, he would actually do a pretty good job, I think.
He's actually not a terrible actor.
No,
He has fun with it.
He has a ton of charisma.
He has fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They should just skip that and do a Venture Brothers movie.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
Oh, man. Really good. The Rock as Brock Sands.
The Rock could play Brock.
Rock Samson. The Rock Samson. Yeah.
You know, he's going to travel around with the boys and, you know, try to breed Pokemon. Oh, not that Brock. Okay.
No, not that Brock.
They should do a live action Venture Brothers movie, though.
I'm sure they will before the whole thing's wrapped up.
They could just have James Urbaniak just play Doc Venture.
Well, they did do those, it was like live action, like talking head kind of interviews in one of the DVD extras.
Really?
And yeah, and they were dressed up as
their characters.
As their characters.
Oh, man. You know one of my favorite episodes is when Brock's license to kill expires and he has to re-up for it.
Yeah, that's right.
And he goes to that bar with Doc Venture and like he can't kill the bartender. You know, he's giving him crap the whole time.
Yeah.
What do you have, an ape grape?
When he takes the written test, it's like, oh, you drew that wing guy from the Led Zeppelin cover.
Yeah, it's Icarus.
Yeah, it's Icarus.
You got a problem with Zeppelin? Oh, man. The fact that he does the pistol range with a knife.
Oh, yeah.
So real quick before we get to the break, I checked out something that wasn't The Killing Joke. I started reading the new Harry Potter book.
Okay.
And I guess book in quotations.
Yeah, because it's a play.
It's a play. Yeah, and it reads really weird. Like and it's this page layout is really, it's written like, it's basically,
script. It's written like a script. Okay.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's part of the reason why it's so fast to read, because I was waiting on getting my car worked on, and I read through half the book.
Oh, wow.
Now, granted, I was there for a long time. But yeah, it's weird. It picks up, like, the beginning of the book starts off, like, right at the prologue from the last book.
You mean epilogue?
Yes, epilogue. Okay. Yes. Like, almost exactly.
Interesting.
That awful epilogue. I haven't read the actual book, but I read the epilogue, and it's stupid. It's like, everybody ended up with somebody, and everybody's happy, and it's all okay.
Well guess what? In this book, everyone's not happy.
Yeah. From what I understand, that epilogue was written, it was written about the same time that she was writing, like, the fourth or fifth book. So the epilogue had been done for a while.
Oh, and she was working
to that point. And then working
to
that point, okay. From what I understand.
But yeah, there's a lot of not happy tones in The Cursed Child.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of family dramas, and not just, like, within Harry's family, but other people's families.
Hmm.
Harry and the gang aren't even the main characters.
Well, sure, I kind of figured that wouldn't be the case.
I mean, they pop up a lot, and they talk a lot, but they're not truly the main characters of the story.
Hmm.
It's Harry's youngest? No, Harry's middle child, Albus. Albus Severus Potter.
That's the worst name.
Wow, that's a terrible
name. Named after the two best people he ever knew.
Albus Dumblepots.
Hey, Dumbledore's name was really nuts, too. It was like Albus Percival something 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 Brian Dumbledore.
Brian Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
No, seriously, it really is. I just can't remember the rest of it.
Okay.
But
it should just be Brian Dumbledore.
It's not really Albus. It's just Brian. I chose a cool wizard name.
Brian.
But Malfoy's son and only child, it's like Scopius or Scorpius.
Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Scorpion Malfoy.
Sweet
leather jacket.
Might as well be. But yeah, it's weird. It doesn't feel the same as the other books. But of course it wouldn't, because it's a script of a play. I don't know, it's just, it doesn't feel as genuine,
it's,
I guess.
It's like she didn't want to take the time to write a whole book, so she just wrote the dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of the stuff is really, like, really, like, kind of jar. Like I read, when I was reading The Order of the Phoenix, I really hated the beginning parts of The Order of the Phoenix, because it was, like, angsty teenage Harry.
That's where I marked out in reading the books. I read the first, what was it, the first four?
And chapters then, or something like that.
The first four books read, and then the beginning of the fifth one, I just couldn't get through it, and that's where I stopped.
Angsty Harry was the worst.
It was terrible. Terrible to read.
Yeah, for that one book.
Nobody's writing me, and nobody came to see me. Why is Dumbledore keeping secrets from me? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it was, I hated it so much.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to actually finish that book.
Yeah.
There's a lot of angsty Albus in this, and it's
angsty Albus and the Cursed Child.
Honestly, that title would make a lot more sense. And it's it's so weird. And then they go back and they touch base on some like older stuff from the books. And I, it's not as fresh in my memory anymore, and it's a little, it's weird going back to that time. Like, they go back, that's a spoiler, I won't go there.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, I'm glad I'm reading it, because mm-hmm. it's more Potterverse,
mm-hmm.
and I miss it, mm-hmm. like, a lot. It's seriously one of my favorite book series of all time. And I think it's because it's a book series that I literally grew up with. From the point it originally came out, because I've always read them. I wasn't, like, the people who came in after the Potter. I just always loved them. They were so good, and they were so genuine, especially in the beginning. And then this one feels like almost like a, I don't want to say much of a cop-out, because that's just mean, but it just doesn't feel the same. Like, it doesn't feel right.
Now, I haven't read the book, but I've seen a few reviews of it, and from what I've heard, it sounds almost like fan fiction, self-insertion fan fiction. That it's that it was very clearly not written by, mainly by
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling, and it reads like someone wrote a story online to impress their friends about this brand new character that does all the things.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda. I mean, in reading the book, like, Albus is like in his Hogwarts and at Hogwarts and stuff, he's not an impressive student.
Okay.
He doesn't have a lot of magical aptitude, and a lot of people give him guff about it because you're like, oh, you're the son of Harry Potter and you're garbage.
But then at the last minute, he'll do something amazing that no one else can do because he's the self-insert character.
Not really.
Okay.
Not so much yet. All right. But...
Dude, I would love to keep talking about this, but we got to take our break. So we will be back with some news after some music.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus, 419-562-0404, and online at subcultureoh.com.
And that was Zombies by the Mudbloods, a Harry Potter band from back when things were still cool.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Why not? I've never heard of that band, so that's...
There's probably a lot of wizard bands you haven't heard of.
The only one I know is Harry and the Potters.
There were a bunch. Some of them were quite accomplished musicians. Others were not so much.
That's so weird that subgenre happened.
That is a weird, that's a weird thing that I, to be honest, wasn't completely aware of was a thing. So
yeah, Harry Potter bands.
I went all the way to Detroit for a concert.
Oh, nice. Right on.
Where a bunch of bands got together.
Nothing else has been, there's no like Pokemon bands.
That we know of.
No, I'm pretty sure I would know. I think I would know.
Mario and Luigi's.
Mario and the Luigi.
There's only one accomplished musician, and that's Mario, and the rest of this suck.
Mushroom head, but it's the it's the mega mushroom.
Or just a bunch of toads.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch
toads.
Of toads. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Anyway, so speaking of Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, let's get into some news. There have been some rumors about the Nintendo NX, the next system that's
really
going to be.
I hope they change the name. I'm still not married to that name.
Oh, they will. They'll change it to something stupid.
It'll be like the Wii 2.
They'll find some made-up word. It'll be the Nintendo Wongus.
Yeah, probably.
Something that's just terrible and will make it not sell.
Yeah. Well, it's. I kind of like the NX, but.
The
again,
Nintendo
it's...
Plumbus.
The Nintendo Plumbus.
All right, so.
Then everybody would have to have one.
I know, right?
Well, anyway, these rumors come from Eurogamer.net. They're usually pretty good about
their stuff. Yeah.
Getting
they're pretty legit.
They are pretty legit. And the rumor is that the next system is going to be a handheld mobile system and console hybrid. That the whole thing is, it looks like a touchscreen with two like controllers on the side that snap together that you can take your systems with you. Like kind of like how the Game Boy... The bottom half of the 3DS is laid out.
Yeah.
But a little bit bigger. And that it will come with a dock that you can plug it into your television that will up-res everything and allow you to play the game at home as well.
It's ambitious.
It's very ambitious.
That's basically the Wii U gamepad that snaps apart.
Yeah. That was the idea I got. Was like it's like the Wii U pad was like a kind of a test run for that.
With
a bigger screen.
Yeah, and that might have been the case.
Hopefully a better resolution screen.
Here's hoping.
Truth.
The resolution on the Wii U gamepad is not good.
Not great. But, nope. But no, and along with that, they're also saying that the media is going to go back to cartridges, that they're done with discs.
Which,
because
I mean,
it's
makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, SD cards can hold a lot of space now, so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's no reason why not.
Between SD cards and then downloading whatever extra content that you need to once you plug it in for the first time. It makes sense. But this would effectively merge their handheld and console divisions of Nintendo into one giant game-making division.
I'd be a little worried about that.
Really?
Yeah, maybe like kind of like a whole, like a too many chefs in the kitchen kind of thing.
You know, I'm not quite sure about that because the Nintendo's most successful branch is the is its yeah. mobile market by
true
by far.
Yeah,
that's my jam.
Yeah, oh yeah,
the portable ones. I would much rather sit on the couch with the handheld than sit in front of the TV. Honestly.
Oh sure, yeah. I'm really kind of the same way, and I think can you imagine being able to take a full blown Legend of Zelda, because Breath of the Wild is supposed to be one of the NX
titles,
launch titles.
Yeah.
Or maybe not launch titles, but very like first quarter
real,
after
yeah,
the
real, yeah,
release. Can you imagine playing that on the go as well as on your television? Can you imagine playing Pokemon on your TV in beautiful 1080p?
That'll be the third version of Sun and Moon will be an NX port.
Yeah, it'll be like Pokemon Stars, and it'll be an NX game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pokemon Universe.
Yeah. That would actually be really cool.
An MMO.
Everybody always wants a Pokemon.
Everybody wants a Pokemon.
Pokemon Fantasy Star. Make it happen.
Just bring Fantasy Star 2 to America. How about that?
With Pokemon.
No, just Fantasy Star.
With Charizards.
No.
Anyways, what do you guys think of this rumor? Do you think it holds any weight, or is it just...
I mean...
I can believe it. I can.
I yeah. think it's about that time when Nintendo is going to try something new.
Well, they've said that they are. That's why they didn't say anything at E3, because they didn't want people stealing their idea before they can get it out. And it is something weird and new. It's what people that have seen it said about it.
Yeah, it's interesting that Nintendo, they've never done, at least here recently with the Wii and the Wii U, they've bucked the trend of just putting out a high-powered system with just a standard controller that plays games. They've really been... They make the creative decision and not exactly the most...
Business sense decision.
Yeah, the popular.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know, this it might be one. A more business sense decision too, because they can't compete with Sony and Microsoft.
Well, they'll just get lost because it'd be just the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want
so,
to.
Exactly.
So
they
want
to stand out. Yeah. And I get that, and I understand that. And that's one thing I've always loved about Nintendo is
they make weird decisions.
They make weird decisions, yeah.
Yeah.
You never know what they're going to do.
You know, it's the Nintendo chaos, you know,
well, I mean,
theory.
It really worked for them with the Wii.
Oh yeah, the Wii was incredibly popular. Unfortunately, the Wii U was not as good.
Well, because the Wii U is basically just an add-on,
yeah,
kind of.
I mean, it isn't an add-on.
It
because
isn't.
People think it's an add-on.
That,
but
that,
it's not.
That was oh yeah, that's yeah. what I, that's what I meant. It's
just the other day I had to tell someone that they couldn't play their what was it? There was a Wii U game on their Wii. I'm like, no, it's not gonna work.
Because they named it Pad.
Yeah, if they would have named it something completely different, it would have
been
Super different. Wii.
Yeah.
Or they could have just went with the Nintendo Revolution, like what the Wii was originally supposed to be.
That would have been cool, but...
Nope. But no, I hope it pans out. I want it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want it.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
I could see this being true, and if it is, that's cool. I like it.
Give me some of that sweet, sweet Nintendo's.
I'd like to see more games announced for it.
This is true.
The only thing we have is Zelda and Just Dance.
Yeah.
And that Sonic game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's not Sonic Mania, the not good looking
yeah,
Sonic
game. Yeah, the angsty one.
Sonic, this isn't a phase, Dad.
They might as well just have it Star Shadow.
You might as well. Yeah.
They should make a game where instead of Sonic and Classic Sonic, it's Shadow and Reaper from Overwatch.
Yeah, there we go. Edgelord the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Edge Bros. Super Edge Bros.
Sonic Screamo.
All right, so let's just keep on talking about Nintendo stuff. We had some Pokemon Go and just straight up Pokemon news that we can just go through. Let's do the Pokemon standard stuff
standard
first.
Pokemon.
Yeah, they released another handful of characters, and that's pretty cool. Yeah, there's
the pocket monsters.
Yeah, some of the highlights. There's some dancing bird thing. I'm not
that
sure
that are
what
different
it's called.
For each island.
Yeah,
it's got like four different forms.
Yeah.
All of them have great dance animations that are pretty fantastic.
They're pretty cool looking. Yeah, yeah. There's you know, there's some prior evolutionary thing for that horse.
Yeah, that's like
a
cute
donkey.
Cute donkey.
It looks like a donkey.
Mud donkey.
Yeah.
Goat eyes.
Yeah. The interesting thing is a couple of the original Gen 1 Pokemon are getting region-specific, like, differences.
Like, evolutionary, like, changes because of the geographical area where they're
in. Something like that. Aloha forms, I think?
Something like that. And it's basically, you get, it's them mining their old games to give you new stuff.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
I don't know, I like Ice Sandshrew and Sandslash.
Oh yeah, the Ice Steel type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the Ice Vulpix too.
Yeah, and the Ninetales. Oh, yeah, they're pretty cool. No pun intended.
And the but the best one is the palm tree, the Executor. It has a huge neck now. It just looks like a giant, super tall palm tree, and it's kind of great.
With coconut faces.
Coconut faces, yeah.
They took a Pokemon that nobody ever liked and made
it the best ever.
Like it, yeah.
Made it the best ever. Plus, it's a dragon type now. So
what?
Yeah, that version. it's Leaf Dragon.
What?
The dragon's in its neck. It's all just
everything is dragon type except Charizard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, at least Mega Charizard is
one of the literal dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, and they announced a whole bunch of other stuff, like the instead of having full-blown like Pokemon trainer badges or whatever.
Gym leader,
that's the term I was thinking of. They have like island heads or whatever that you have to battle, which is different from every other game. They have this new like special attack mechanic, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, there's like super type moves you can use once per battle called Z moves.
Yeah,
very Sentai.
Yeah, they do this little Sentai pose thing before they use them. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sounds kind of like a Limit Break. You can only use once per fight.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and it's weird because they are also putting out a toy, definitely for kids, that is that will actually react when you use those moves in game. It like makes your bracelet like light up and vibrate. It's almost like the Nintendo company and Game Freak, they're throwing all their crazy ideas at the wall and to see what sticks in this game.
Oh, well, that's just Yo-Kai Watch.
Yeah.
Is what the Z-Ring is. They want some of that Yo-Kai Watch money, so they made a watch.
Gotcha.
Okay. I mean, Pokemon it's a bracelet, watch. But yeah.
Yeah.
Not that that's a feature that the Yo-Kai Watch game has, but it's a similar concept where you buy a toy to go along with your game.
Interesting. Yeah.
This is going to be a lot different about this Pokemon, and it's going to be exclusively because of Yo-Kai Watch, because it was so popular in Japan.
Absolutely. But it needs it.
Pokemon's done the same thing for too long. They need to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree.
And something more than just, you can dress your trainer up.
Yeah. Although I love that, and I hope it still
I hope that comes back. Yeah, yeah, I hope that comes back for sure. Let's go ahead and switch over to the Pokemon Go stuff.
Oh, man.
Niantic has been breaking their game constantly since it came out.
Well, no, they fixed the step problem.
Okay, they fixed the step problem by completely removing it.
Yeah, for a while there was a glitch where it said every Pokemon was three steps away, regardless of how far they actually were.
Right, and that was used to track to help you catch things. But yeah, they totally removed that feature.
Yeah.
Oh, and completely. You can't even select a specific Pokemon to try to find it either.
Yeah, it's just gone. The whole thing is just
have an idea. You just get silhouettes of it, like, these might be around you.
People are getting mad about it.
Oh, very mad. The rating on the App Store for Pokemon Go has dipped to 1.5 stars.
I saw that.
That's ridiculous.
It is. People, you know, I never used that feature to begin with.
I didn't either.
But it's, I don't know. And I guess people are claiming that after this most recent update, it's harder to catch.
And it is.
Things. Yeah, it's a little more difficult. They run away quicker. They pop out of the ball quicker. But
which that does kind of suck.
Yeah,
that bothers me.
That's just Niantic trying to get people to buy more stuff
for
the game, and that's not cool.
Buy them Pokeballs.
They already made it like $1 million a day.
Yeah.
Before they did that.
Yeah. Have you guys noticed? I have been kind of out of the loop. Have you noticed people? If people are still like congregating around different places to catch their Pokemans,
In Marion, I have noticed there's been a slight crackdown.
Okay.
They've kind of been more enforcing the rules of this place closes at dusk.
Right.
Yeah, they put up signs at the Vets Memorial. It says
right, because that was
dusk.
A huge, that there for a while, yeah. That was a huge, huge, huge thing.
I think some people still kind of group up at the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some pictures. I haven't personally gone to the cemetery since the game came out, which has been a bad idea on my part because there's so much stuff in there. But I've seen pictures of people kind of like camping out with like camp chairs and stuff in the cemetery.
See, that's not kinda crappy. That's kind of crummy.
That is crap.
Yeah, don't do that.
Or they're parking their cars within the driveways inside the cemetery instead of parking a car outside and walking in.
Yeah, that's not.
And it's super not classy.
And it makes it to where people can't actually traverse the cemetery with their car.
That's really not cool.
Yeah. It's not. And then, like, on the, like, the local pages on Facebook and stuff, people are like, you know, don't do this. It makes you a jerk, and it makes us all look bad. And they're like, you can't tell us how to enjoy our game.
It's like, but you're enjoying it in a place people go to grieve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not cool. For me, I haven't seen as many people out using that.
Not app. As often, no.
It's definitely slowed down.
Quite a bit, yeah. The heat has kind of died down on the whole Pokemon Go thing.
Yeah.
Locally, anyway.
It's weird how quickly it, like, spiked up and then just dropped.
I don't think it's dropped that much. Though,
really?
Because
no.
People still talk about it endlessly. It's still a big deal.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's not as big a deal as it was.
I know
certainly.
Some people that haven't barely gotten on it in a while.
I
myself included.
Yeah. I'll load it up when I'm... You know, have nothing better
but
to do.
I've also been out of Pokeballs for a week.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't gone to Pokestops to replenish.
Yeah, right, yeah. But yeah, it's just kind of a weird how it's kind of started to die off a little bit so quickly. But I don't know.
But as soon as the next big update comes out, it's going to flare right back.
And once they fix, if they fix...
They will.
And I'm using quotes as
they,
fix instead
they
of...
They will.
They will.
Sure.
There are enough people out there crabbing about it.
It wasn't a finished game to begin with.
This is true.
Yeah.
And when you suddenly have the most popular game ever in the world, your server structure is... Like, they could not have seen that coming.
They really couldn't.
The fact that they were... Pokemon Go was more popular than Tinder.
Yeah.
An app specifically designed for you to get a
hookups.
Date.
Hookups. Yes.
It was kind of like a curveball. It feels like, new challenger appears. Pokemon Go.
Yeah. It's... And people are complaining about how they've taken away features and they're changing things up, but and how Niantic is not listening to them and not fixing their game, but they're working on the servers. Like,
yeah.
I haven't had a disconnection in a very long time.
Yeah.
So
everything they took away was specifically to make the servers work until the game dies down a little bit,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. And to cut down on third-party
They don't want to use that PokeVision.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And if you're throwing a fit because they shut down PokeVision... You had to have seen that coming.
Sure.
I mean, that's don't be naive. Like,
yeah, PokeVision was a GPS website that shows you exactly where some things have spawned, like animals have popped up, and it kind of takes the fun out of the game a little.
Yeah.
Bit.
It really does.
It's kind of cheating
a little bit.
I wouldn't say it's flat out cheating, but
because there have been people who have been cheating,
have been flat out, yeah.
Like in our home state here of Ohio, around in Dayton, somebody claimed to catch an Articuno. But it turns out that they just
a legendary Pokemon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They just hacked the game.
Yeah, that's not cool. Yeah,
no,
they went as far to like fabricate a fake email from Niantic, but didn't go far enough to spell Articuno right.
Yeah, that's that's just not cool. Just be cool. It's a game. Come on.
That goes all around with Pokemon Go. Just be cool. It's a game.
Yeah.
Also, I saw where I guess Niantic's going to make it a little harder for you to Pokemon Go and drive, which
Good.
Is fine.
I hope so.
Because I don't want people to. Drive.
Yeah, they changed the scan rate. It used to be it would scan for Pokemon around you every 5 seconds. Now it's every 10.
Yeah, and that's fine. You don't need to be driving and
no,
doing
exactly.
That stuff. That's not cool.
And the thing, people driving around like going like 10 miles an hour in their car and stuff. Get out and freaking walk.
Yeah,
yeah.
Don't. Oh, it drives me nuts.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't affect me when I bike, because I do ride my bicycle. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah.
I get
you. Not your motorcycle.
Not my motorcycle. I'm not that cool.
Sam and his chopper.
Yeah, that's it. That's me. Yeah.
Sick hog.
That's me, you know, biker. Anyway, we got a couple of quick hits before we get to our last thing. Netflix has been putting out a couple of movies and kind of talking about stuff, and a couple of them I wanted to highlight. Christopher Guest has a new movie coming out, which is always fun.
Yeah, he always makes those mockumentaries.
They're
good.
Great. They're always funny. I don't think there's been one that hasn't hit.
And
did he do Best in Show?
He did.
Yeah.
He did Best in Show.
Spinal
is one of my favorite.
Tap.
Yeah.
Mighty Wind.
Yeah. Well, Spinal Tap. He was in that and co-wrote it, but he didn't direct that one. That was Rob Reiner that directed that one. But yeah.
That was kind of the first movie.
It was really
in that
the first.
Style.
It was. Yeah.
I love Best in Show. That one's
so
good.
Great. Yeah. But no, this new one is about mascots, like the people in like sports team mascots. They're all going for like the mascot of the year award or something like that. And it has all of the same actors and actresses
as all the other
his
ones.
Normal troupe of actors. But it's going to be on exclusively on Netflix,
which is
fine.
That's
really cool. That's fine.
A lot of those were on Netflix for like forever.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. The other one, and I don't know much about this. There was an anime, I guess, about called Death Note. It was really popular. All I know about it was years ago I worked at an FYE here in town, and I worked there when it was very popular because all of the little kids and their black hooded sweatshirts would come in and buy all of the Death Note stuff. I remember that. That's all I remember.
Death Note is a weird anime. It's about a guy named Light who really hates people.
Okay, make this in one sentence because I really don't care. I'm sorry.
Basically, you get a magic book, and when you write somebody's name in it, that person dies.
And there's a monster in it, right?
There's not a monster in it. Every owner of a Death Note has a Shinigami with them, a Japanese death god.
Okay, so a monster.
Yes.
So it does have monsters in it.
Yes, it does have monsters.
Okay, well, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because Netflix
couldn't be any more dismissive about it.
I'm being honest. It is not something that I'm into, but they're doing a live action movie based on this thing.
An American live action movie.
Because yeah, there have been Japanese.
A couple of them.
And the important thing, I'm getting to that because Willem Dafoe is going to be voicing this monster thing.
Ryuk, yes.
Yeah. And that's kind of an interesting poll.
It's Willem Dafoe. He's already creepy as enough as it is.
Yeah. Well, he looks like the character.
He kind of does.
He does. But it's just interesting how Netflix is being able to pull all these high, big name type people in to
their
products.
Netflix has the money.
Yeah.
They really do.
They get, what is it, like $11 every month?
Yeah, same here. Yeah. It's just interesting. And
it's crowdfunding movies to the extreme.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, kind of. And, you know, we didn't bring this up last week, but we should have. Mystery Science Theater is going to be on Netflix as well. And that's a huge get for them.
Yeah,
Like the new season, I guess.
Yeah, that's that mighty, mighty nerd dollar right there.
Yeah. Just, it's just fascinating how Netflix is really...
Do you remember how, like, stupid Netflix sounded when it first came out?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, movies on my computer that I get through the... Or I get through the mail. I'm like, why do I care?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it wasn't even originally on the computer. It was this... You had to order them online.
Yeah.
Do you remember how dismissive people were when Netflix decided to start making their own original content?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Okay. People were a little taken aback because they had been the streaming service for so long.
Yeah.
And then decided they were going to start making original, their own shows.
And you know what? Most of them are amazing.
They're really good. They're really, really good.
House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, all the Marvel stuff. It's gold.
Well, except I would say the Arrested Development season 4 was a silver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Although also, those Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, yeah. The Ridiculous 6.
Like I said, most of them are good. Most of them are good.
Yeah.
This is something we didn't write down, but I think I heard about it yesterday. It's kind of related. I heard that Time Warner bought 10% of Hulu.
I heard that, yeah.
And
yeah,
they're going to be doing like a live stream of like Cartoon Network. And
oh, that's cool.
That is really cool.
But at the same time, Time Warner was also bought out by another company, and they're going to be called Spectrum or something like that.
Spectrum is another company.
Yeah, they were bought. They bought Time Warner.
Oh.
I got a letter in the mail the other day about how my
internet's going to be called Spectrum.
How my services are going to change.
Yeah.
Do they just buy it for this area or do they buy it everywhere?
I think they bought the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm not really 100% on that, but yeah.
Because it could just be this area.
It could be. It could be. But it's interesting. Yeah, that is weird that Time Warner bought Hulu.
See, I heard they were trying to. I didn't know if the sale actually had gone through or not, because that was going to affect Hulu's next day availability of TV shows.
It's probably not good for Hulu because Time Warner is a direct competitor to Hulu.
Yeah.
They want you to watch on your TV.
Wasn't Time Warner CBS?
I don't know.
I forget how the whole network thing splits up.
Okay. Well, anyway.
But yeah, because I know like CW made a deal with Netflix,
right,
and they get all their stuff as soon as the season's done.
Right.
Which sucks for me for watching stuff that day or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, TV is evolving and it's weird.
Yeah.
I canceled my Hulu.
Oh, you did?
I switched to CISO so I could watch Armin Quest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I want to watch Jonah Ray's Hidden America. Yeah. I haven't watched that yet.
My Brother and Me show.
Yeah, that was a big push, too.
Yeah, that's if anything is going to get me to sign up for CISO, it's going to be that.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, so we have time for one more news thing. Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Speaking of Warner stuff, it comes out this weekend. None of us have seen it yet.
Nope.
In fact, but I plan on seeing it. If not tonight, then tomorrow. I'm going to see this movie this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing it this weekend.
I don't know if I'm going to see it or not.
Yeah. I was a little bit excited for this movie until a lot of the pre-release reviews started rolling in, claiming that it is just garbage. It is just not.
Yeah, it's got what, a 31 on Rotten Tomatoes
33,
last I saw,
something like that.
It's gone up a little bit.
Yeah, but they're saying that it's tonally all over the place,
and I blame a lot of that with studio meddling.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I read that. Yeah, there was two different cuts of the movie. Mm-hmm. There was one. Wait, who's the director? David Ayers.
Ayers, yeah.
He did kind of a darker, more Batman v Superman-y tone movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when critics hated Batman v Superman, the studio,
they ordered the reshoots.
Yeah, the studio went into panic mode and reshot the movie to be more like the trailer.
And like Deadpool.
Yeah.
And I heard it makes it feel weird, like it doesn't know which way it wants to go.
Yeah, and they didn't go with one shoot or the other. They just mashed the two together to try and make a coherent movie.
Yeah, and that just doesn't work. I've heard the high points, Will Smith sit up. Just he is peak Will Smith in this.
He's Will Smith and all over the place.
Well, yeah. That's fine because he hasn't been Will Smith that much in the last couple of his movies.
Right. Although I heard he wrote a fun time rap for Suicide Squad that the studio decided to not produce. Like he wrote like the old Men in Black style.
Oh,
like,
man.
That would have been great.
Super feel good raps.
That would have been perfect.
We are the Suicide Squad.
But no.
Bombs in our brains.
Yeah, but no, I heard he does well, and I heard Margot Robbie, while her comedic timing is not the best, is pretty entertaining on screen.
I read little tidbits here and there that people were a little disappointed that she was, her character has less agency and is almost more object than anything.
I did hear that.
That's not surprising.
But it's not surprising. Ben Affleck is in it for maybe 2 minutes, I guess.
Yeah.
The Flash makes an appearance.
What?
Yeah, in Captain Boomerang's backstory.
Oh,
so,
that was,
yeah,
that
so it's going to be our first on-screen look at The Flash, which is interesting. I heard that was fine.
Boomerang is a Flash. Sometimes I forget that.
Yeah, but universally, the worst thing that I keep reading about this movie is Jared Leto's Joker. Just across the board, everybody hates it.
I heard at best he is basically a cameo.
He's in it for about 10 minutes, from what I understand. And just not... They made him like this weird sex pervert.
Oh.
So, which the Joker has been a great many things, but that has never really been one of them. that he is so jarring as the Joker that there's no way, you can't imagine a universe where this version of Batman would fight this version of the Joker. It just doesn't work. And there were so many like behind the scenes stuff that he just kept pulling.
Yeah, like all the pranks he did and all the dumb stuff. It was
pranks. He was sending dead animals to other castmates.
Yeah,
that's not a prank. That's abuse. That's gross.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Pranks in air quotes.
What does Will Smith say about it? It's like, I'm just acting here, dude. I'm just trying to act here. Yeah.
But it just.
He's an idiot. I cannot stand Jared Leto. I'm sorry. Yeah. He's not going to be on this show.
No. We've pretty much burned our bridges with Mr. Leto, but God, just...
He obviously doesn't get the Joker. Like, if that's what he thinks the Joker does, is send random gross stuff to people with no thought behind it.
Yeah, that's just not right. And it's a shame because the trailers made this movie look good.
Yeah,
made it look enjoyable.
Those are really good trailers.
Yeah,
especially with the use of the Queen and all the beats and stuff.
That's the other thing I heard, that they just pull music straight up, like Guardians of the Galaxy style. Like that's clearly what they were trying to mimic, but there was no thought behind it. So it's just, here's a song that you all know. Here's another one that you know. Just totally out of left field.
In Guardians, there was a reason.
There was a definite reason for it. Where in this, it's just.
I need to go back and watch that movie again. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Watch that instead of going to see the train wreck.
Yeah, so along with that...
Hey, I heard Trainwreck's okay.
I never got to see that, and I wanted to.
Yeah. Well, along with that, we talked about the Rotten Tomatoes score, and we got to get through this real quick.
It's ruffled some feathers.
It's ruffled
online.
Some fanboys.
Some jimmies have been rustled.
Some DC fanboys are claiming that there is a grand conspiracy against Warner Brothers DC Comics superhero movies.
Yeah, themselves.
And they are petitioning to close down Rotten Tomatoes, the entire movie rating website, because of a bad review of Suicide Squad. How stupid is that?
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't even control what they do.
Yeah, it just aggregates the reviews from everywhere.
Warner Brothers owns a 30% stake in Rotten Tomatoes. They'd be cutting off their own nose to spite their face.
Also, the fact that I was looking at the petition, and there's like a lot of like spelling errors and garbage.
Oh, of course there is. Yeah, it just
it's like the Cheeto dust made their fingers slip off the keyboard.
I think this is like 14-year-olds.
Yeah,
because look, I mean, I don't think it's the intended target audience for these movies.
But the people who are really all about it are seem to be really young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I made a comment last night at work that I feel like the Joker and like Harley kind of look like they tumbled into a Hot Topic and everything just kind of stuck to them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
yeah.
I'm going to watch the movie. I'm going to try to go in as open-minded as possible.
Oh, I'll try to go and enjoy it because I'm spending money. I don't normally spend money purposely to not enjoy things, but it's just
you sure about that?
Let's see here. We watched Batman versus Superman. We watched.
I tried to give Batman versus Superman a fair shake.
Yeah.
It did that to itself.
Ninja Turtles.
Okay. Well, no, I tried to give that a fair shake too.
We walked out of that theater angry.
Yeah.
We walked out of that theater super angry.
But I didn't walk into the theater angry. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, you did.
Well,
that
okay.
was different reasons.
Different reasons. All right. Anyway, we got to wrap up.
Yeah, we got to go.
Yeah. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a big old blue thumbs up on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
You can email us with any questions, concerns, comments at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us @nerd_overload, or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher and on WZMO FM on Saturdays at 10 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Yep.
All right. Again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.